on this Thursday afternoon. Let's check the futures markets. Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises is on the phone line from Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
What feels like Louisiana here? It's hot and humid and sticky, but we'll get a reprieve by the time we get to Saturday when highs only get into the mid-70s. How's the weather there?
We're warm and humid, but the extended weather models are trying to bring some of that cooler air all the way down here, which will be welcomed. I just see the latest 6 to 10 day has basically got the center part of the country below normal on the temperatures, pretty much from Texas to Wisconsin, from Colorado all the way to Pennsylvania, and it kind of looks like it wants to put the western Corn Belt on the dry side and the eastern Corn Belt a little better chances of rain, and northwestern Illinois and southeastern Iowa's in the neutral camp. So it looks fairly moderate type weather forecast.
Is it benign for the corn crop, you think? Doesn't make
well, there's
difference.
There's nothing threatening in it. I think as long as you keep temperatures cool, the trade will view that as non-threatening. Now, the below normal rainfall chances, I guess, for the northern plains and the western Corn Belt might become a concern if that persists. But it does kind of look like the weather pattern is shifted to something more cooler, a little drier, or the heaviest amounts of precipitation is going to be mostly in the eastern corridor of the states, southeast. Looks like Georgia, Alabama is going to have the heavier amounts. So that'll be something to kind of watch over the next couple of weeks. Now, if it would be normal planting dates and our corn was beginning to start shooting tassels as it normally does in the last week of June, first week or two of July, we would probably be sealing the deal on some pretty good crop yields, at least on corn. But since we're so late, the most critical time frame is probably going to be the last 10 days of June and the first 10 days of August or so.
Yeah, you mean July and August, but yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we have some time to wait, and we have reports between then and now. Grain stocks and acreage tomorrow. WASDE again for the monthly in the month of July.
Well, I guess the reports will come and go, and the trade will have to live with them. I don't know anybody that's anxious to go through another report. I think these quarterly stocks reports have just about tore everybody up, and nobody's really looking forward to it, but they know that we're going to have to go through it tomorrow at 11 o'clock, and everybody's got their fingers crossed that it doesn't totally change the game. I suppose the thing to be watching is this phantom bushels of corn that seem to kind of come and go in the balance sheet. Cash supplies are awful tight, depending upon who you talk to. So, you know, maybe we may end up losing the bushels that we found in the March report. If that would occur, I think that changes the ball game in corn for a little bit, because that really creates a window out there between the transition period between using up old crop inventories and before new crop inventories become very meaningful coming into the pipeline. So it will widen that window out. Corn acres, the problem with corn acres is everybody makes the March number the holy gospel, and then they pivot from that, and I'm uncomfortable with pivoting from a March 1 estimate, whether or not acres go up or down for one reason or the other. So I guess I think there's room for some surprises in the acreage numbers also. And then the question is How does USGA handle some of these acres that got those heavy rains over the last week or so in the northern areas of the Corn Belt that's unlikely to be planted? So it's going to be interesting to see how that all unfolds. WASDE's July numbers, again, that'll be another event that'll come and go. But the most meaningful report after tomorrow will be the August crop report. And, of course, that will also come at a time when weather is going to be the most critical time frame. If we would get into a hot and dry spell during that period, which is not uncommon, things could get a little exciting around the October or the August crop report.
Yeah, then that one is suspect to begin with, sometimes simply because it's so early that they don't get really good hard counts out of. And this year they certainly won't get hard counts.
Maybe
out of
we ought to start doing away with these reports.
I need something to talk about on the air.
Well, I know you need something to talk about, and somebody needs something to trade about. So that's why they are in existence, is to keep the news wires, news writers' wires busy, and the traders busy to kind of trade against. But I know the confidence level of these reports have gone down dramatically, and I don't want to criticize any of them, because I do know that they're trying to do their best on a limited amount of budget money. But it's just, been a little wild here over the last 2-3 years on these reports.
Yeah, it's difficult, hard, and worthy work, I think, simply because we really do need to have an idea of what's out there and available to use in the coming year. When you look at soybeans as opposed to corn, and most, I suppose, producers at this time, many, are thinking their corn crop today is far more likely to make a crop than it was 10 days ago, for certain. But soybeans, I suspect, they're still a little more worried about.
Well, I think so. I think, soybeans are always the last to be planted. Corn is first priority. I do know a few farmers that will plant beans maybe before corn, but very rarely. A lot of the corn acres that maybe didn't get planted because it got a little too late for people in some areas switched to soybeans, and then that drug on to the point where maybe some of those soybean acres didn't get planted. So we may end up, we could have lost both corn and soybean acres due to, the insurance programs where farmers have options to prevent plant. The insurance program is a much bigger deal today than what it was 20 years ago when we got into late springs for one reason or the other. That's something interesting. Also, I think people have heard me talk for a year or more that over the long pull, soybeans are going to gain on corn, and they have been doing that for the most part over the past several months, and I guess I expect that to continue. So when I look at that, it kind of tells me a guy may want to be a little bearish corn and bullish soybeans going into the report or for the growing season. The old crop soybeans are kind of in position here, technically, to maybe take a pop-up above their early June highs, maybe make new highs for the year. But I also know that we're starting to swim upstream. Anytime you get past at the end of June, it's hard to get the markets to go higher unless you're in a weather event. And right at the moment, the next 2 weeks doesn't imply that we're going to have any threatening weather. I do like the bean chart for some higher moves higher. Corn chart, I think old crop corn July could do just about anything. And that's probably with old crop July soybeans. We're going into a delivery period with no deliveries expected, and you've got cash bids above futures. So we're going to have to see some convergence before that contract expires. Now, whether or not that takes higher futures prices or lower cash prices, we'll have to see how that plays out. But they will converge at expiration.
Well, one way or the other, it's going to be fun tomorrow, end of the month, end of the quarter, and reports all due. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, that's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon.